Stop. I can't take it anymore.
Oh, I do the live one too.
Yes, I know. I saw your act in the theater. You're really quite good.
Quite a certain harmful habit.
Hello and welcome back. We are Breaking Up with RBS. This is episode number 7. I am Tawny Sanabria.
And I am JDK Winnikin. We're here to debunk the junk of the stories that no longer serve us. Mm. How you doing, Tawny?
I am doing great.
Good.
Actually.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
Did you have a good week?
I did have a good week.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, we had some bumps along the way, right? Who doesn't have bumps? But other than that.
Right. Right. Yes. We got through them. Yeah.
So
we're working through them. And I'm sure that's been the same for all of you out there as well. And just off the top here, just remember that if you're listening to us live on a warm 106.9 in Seattle, welcome and good morning. And if you aren't, we're available as a podcast on your favorite platform. We also have a video feed of this program at our YouTube channel. Just look up Breaking Up with our BS, use the whole word for BS. Mm-hmm. You can also join our Facebook group if you are interested in getting content in between and having some other conversations with Tawny and myself during the week, again, under the same name. So look that up. So we're having fun with all that. We've had some great interaction there, haven't we?
So, yeah, I love hearing from people, what they're noticing about themselves, their bodies, their own stories that they just weren't aware of before. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the idea of us telling stories to ourselves that are disconnected from reality was a very new concept when I first started doing this work with you. And it's a very liberating thing when you realize that the stories are the problem. It's not the emotions that's happening. It's not even necessarily the reality of things, even when they're tough. It's what we end up telling ourselves that they all mean or what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm.
And that the stories don't have to be a part of us.
Yeah.
Right. There's that part too. We tend to believe those stories and hold on to them as sort of a sense of identity. And then we don't have to do that. We have choice.
Yeah. Which we talked about last time as well. And last time we encouraged people to focus on the idea of softening
and the experience of softening.
The experience. Right. Yes. Right. Yes. Because when that's sort of the intro point, right? When we are when we are agitated, when we are tense, when we are in protected, right? We can either be in protected mode or connected mode.
Yes.
As you like to say. So when we're in protected mode for whatever reason, softening is kind of that portal or that key to opening up the body and the mind to integrate together and kind of get reconnected with reality.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So a little bit about the nervous system. We'll just throw this in here really quick.
Okay.
Just to kind of make a little bit of sense about what you were just talking about.
Okay.
Is that there's three branches of the autonomic nervous system, right? We've got our fight or flight, we've got our freeze, and then we've got our safety branch.
The safety
We don't branch. Talk about the safety branch very much. It's a ventral vagal branch. The dorsal or the freeze is the dorsal.
Okay.
The fight or flight is the sympathetic.
Okay.
Right. So we know we've maybe heard those words a little bit before. Right?
Yeah.
When we're primarily or mostly or all the way into one of those stress branches, the freeze or the fight or flight, we're typically in a protected mode where we're protecting ourselves from something.
From something.
Right.
Perceived or otherwise.
Yeah. Right. And the body needs to do that. We need protection at times. And so that comes online and we react, right? Fight, flight, freeze in particular ways to cope with whatever it is.
Right.
And we can go into that on another,
another. That might take a few episodes.
That's going to take a few episodes for that one. But over here in the hidden midst of this is also the ventral vagal, the safety system, right? And so if we can, the softening is basically the portal to get into that branch, to experience that part of ourselves that can perhaps be more open because it's safe.
Right. So the word soften is almost like turning that system on. It creates the current.
Yes. It creates the pathway for us. And then as we continue to add to that practice a little bit, which we might get into at some point today or other episodes, but we really want to just experience this beginning part, this softening part, the bridge into or the portal into or the gateway into safety, because we can be more of ourselves when we have access to that branch.
Mm-hmm.
And our lives are so lots of stuff.
Yeah.
So filled.
Yeah.
That it takes an intention to get into that branch nowadays.
Yeah, it does. Because I had never heard of that before. Before we, you know, I consider myself a pretty educated guy. Mm-hmm. Maybe not on biology and physiology, but I'd heard of the others before, mm-hmm. but not the ventral vagal before.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it feels like those others are really reactive, fight, flight, or freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the safety, the ventral vagal, is responsive. It feels like if we connect with it, it's mm-hmm. responding rather than reacting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really, I mean, we hear that in mental health discussions all the time, that it's important in life to be more responsive mm-hmm. than reactive. We hear it in leadership. Be responsive rather than reactive, right? Hear it in relationship counseling, I'm sure, mm-hmm. as all the time
all the
with
time.
With mm-hmm. the couples you work with.
Mm-hmm.
So what was fascinating for me was I felt like when I learned this about that this mm-hmm. is in our bodies, that this is science.
Yes.
This isn't made up.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like a little bit like a superhero. Like, wait a minute. But then I was like, well, you're not a superhero because everybody can do this.
So
then, but,
like, yeah. Oh.
But still, my superhero fantasies can be elsewhere.
Whatever, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but that to me was the really liberating part of that mm-hmm. was that this is in the body. We all have this capability.
Mm-hmm.
And then the experience I had over time in connecting with it, that even in the hardest moments, mm-hmm. I could realize I could be okay in those moments and not make up stories about them. And it also really helped me catch even the lightest moments, like your story last week about golfing.
Yes.
And your bad golf day and the stories you were making up about that. It seems small, but I tell you what, you know, I've noticed that if I have 5 or 6 of those small things that I make up stories about, I might end up having a really bad day just in my own head.
Mm-hmm.
Even
mm-hmm.
if everything else around me is okay, I can ruin myself for the day. Mm-hmm. So catching the little ones matters a lot. Right.
And the little ones are they're great ones to practice returning to presence, right? Because those big ones, a little more complicated to get back into presence or get into our safety system because we're overloaded, we're overfilled.
Yeah.
So the little ones are great ones to pay attention to and return to a softening practice.
Yeah, it's like getting into an exercise regimen, right?
Yeah.
If you want to start running, you don't run 10 miles to start because you can't,
Mm-mm.
right? You run handful of yards mm-hmm. or whatever it might be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And build up. Yeah, that's really true. And for me, that the excitement of softening and seeing, even just by saying the word and experiencing and feeling, just a shift enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets bigger over time. This is the great news, speaking of the body.
Mm-hmm.
The brain's elasticity and the body's elasticity means that as we do this more,
mm-hmm.
it gets like you open up your bandwidth more.
Yes.
For those things. So, and my experience for that being relatively new to this, that's been what's led to all the profound changes in my own awareness and by extension mm-hmm. in my own life, how I see my life, all my important relationships are better
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
now because of this by extension and not because those people are doing anything differently than they were before.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I feel more connected with myself and with them. I think I accept people better
mm-hmm.
for who they are.
Yeah.
And that just comes from doing this for a while.
You don't have to protect yourself in the same ways you thought you did before.
Exactly.
A great practice with the softening is if you have trouble sleeping. This is amazing. If you have trouble sleeping, try this because it works for me every single time. If I wake up or I'm having trouble sleeping or whatever, I soften.
Okay.
And then I soften some more.
Do you say this to yourself, like in your mind?
And
or?
I soften some more. And so I return to that soften some more. So you can literally feel your whole body just like merging with your mattress in a way that you've not ever experienced before.
Melting
I guarantee it. Yes.
It helps.
So try it.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, that does help. I've done that. And I actually, when I'm getting my workday started in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really important time for me to do that because I start getting ahead of, I got to get this done. I got to do this. I only have so much time. Mm-hmm. What if I forget? What ball am I going to drop?
Mm-hmm.
For me in the mornings, it's really vital to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I can do it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and...
In traffic,
yeah.
It's the best place to do it.
Yeah. Can't close your eyes
no,
in traffic.
No, but you can soften.
But you can soften. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So do you have a BS story for us this week? I shared a BS story.
Oh, is it my turn?
Experience? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, oh man, there's always so many. Mm-hmm. And as you know, sometimes I can tell, I'm getting better recognizing when I know I have stories going, but I either can't make sense of them or I'm having trouble, you know, getting into the safety system or whatever. I keep fighting it. Mm-hmm. I have this habit of just wanting to fight it all the time. Yeah. Let me figure it out with my brain. But yes, I have plenty of them. One that has been coming up recently is I'm 48 years old. I just turned that. Mm-hmm. And overall, I'm in pretty good health. Mm-hmm. And I'm really fortunate and very grateful that, you know, I've had some surgeries. I've never had a debilitating disease. I've never had anything that's been really high risk surgeries and like that. Now, one of the things that's happening though, is my body is going through some changes in terms of what I can eat and what I can drink.
Yeah.
And it started not so subtly. it just like kind of came out of nowhere. And I've always kind of known that this was going to show up. Like I have a family member who can't do spicy foods anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that scared me, right? Because I love spicy stuff. Right. But don't let it be that.
That would be, yes.
Don't take away my chicken wings, you know, that type of thing. Well, what it started out as is, when I had a beer not too long ago and it didn't go well. Mm-hmm. It didn't sit well. It didn't make me physically sick, but I got really hot and I got really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I just didn't enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, oh, maybe it was something else. No, as I tried it, it became clearer and clearer and clearer. And I actually went and saw someone to talk about it. And they said, yep, you're developing an intolerance for some of these things. It could be gluten in beer. It could be tannins if it's wine. It could be anything grain. Right? And it's like, okay, well, most grain alcohols are that. Now, I don't drink that much anyway. It's not good for my health overall. But man, did the story start to come all of a sudden with that. Oh man, this means I'm getting old. Right? I've managed to resist the you're getting old until that.
Wow.
Well, okay. So now everything's breaking down. Well, what happens if maybe there's something bigger? What if you're developing a chronic condition? What if there's an underlying disease that's coming out? And of course, you know, I can go to the internet and freak myself out.
Right? Anytime you want.
Anytime I want over those things. But it led to, I guess, overall, a series of stories that were about my fragility and my mortality.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. And then suddenly it cascaded into, okay, well, I better hurry up and do all these other things. If my life is starting to change, this means I'm getting old. What have I not done yet? Got to get my book published. What about partnership? Blah, 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 blah. What about my retirement?
Mm.
Look where I went.
Yeah. It sounds stressful.
Yeah. It was very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but in those moments, even when it wasn't spiking, it was low grade.
Yeah.
Low grade.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I would soften some of it and be okay. And other times I'd realize, wow, I've had this low lying story bubbling. You mentioned last time we can be aware of them or not aware of them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of the not aware. And then I notice that I'm not aware. When I become aware, I'm like, oh man, I'm tight, I'm tense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it sounds small, but it's a real thing, right? It's not like I'm the only person who goes through that.
No. Right. No, I had a food thing 15 years ago where I had to change my eating habit. I could not do, had some autoimmune type stuff going on. Oh, so I could not do the gluten, could not do the dairy anymore. And I just remember telling, you know, 15 years ago, the landscape was a little different around these food things, right?
Sure.
So I would tell people and some people would respond with, wow, I could never do that. Like, that always gave me pause. You could never change your eating be so that you could feel better.
Or for your health.
Right? Like, right? That's a story right there.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes.
So, and it's kind of disempowering, I think, a little bit, but whatever. So, but just like, oh, I'm never going to be able to go out with friends to a restaurant anymore
because
I can't eat anything. No, I never want to go to a social where they're going to have all these delicious appetizers. What am I going to do there?
Oh,
I remember all those stories.
Yeah. And for me with beer, I love going to baseball games, as you know, and everybody who's listening or watching is going to find this out. I love baseball and I love the experience. And part of that is a beer and a dog, you know, and the beer is going away. And honestly, the hot dog should go away too. I saw a report the other day that somehow they figured out that every hot dog you eat takes 35 minutes off of your life.
What?
I want to know how they figured that out. I didn't read the story enough because I just was in denial about its truth. So I didn't want to read it.
Holy moly.
Which means I've lost a lot of days of my life.
A lot of days. Because wow.
I like a beer and a dog at a game. But but that somehow the story was I'm going to enjoy or lose something in that, you know, and right. I started laughing in the middle of what you're talking about. Because my one of the stories was, what if it turns out to be cheese? What if I have to give up cheese?
Right.
Because cheese
or
is...
Or tacos.
Right. Could you imagine?
I can't imagine that one. But
the cheese ones hurts. Yes. Like that very idea. Yeah. And again, because of other health things, I try not to eat as much of that either.
Yep.
But man, there's something about the idea of wanting to hold on. Well, I could. And it wouldn't hurt me.
Yes. Yes, there is that lingers.
Yes. And so, but the thing for me is even those things, and it's not that health is a small thing, right? Your golf game is one thing. Health questions and taking care of ourselves, you know, proactively is not a small thing. But what I notice is that whether it's big or small, it can cascade into much bigger stories.
Right.
Without really, before I even know it. Because, you know, we don't think linearly, right? We think in patterns. And so we get images and pictures and connections and we go backwards and forwards. And suddenly I'm spending all my time out in the past, out in the future, and I'm not right where I'm at. Recognizing that maybe on the simplest of things with diet, if I'm present in this moment, okay, I don't need to do that and it's okay. I don't need to have a beer with this. I can have something else. And I'm actually taking a good step for me because I'm going to feel better. And I'm taking healthier steps in addition to everything else, getting exercise, all those things.
Right. Yeah. And just the story of a limitation somehow.
Yeah.
Is going to sneak in.
Or deprivation.
And create both of those in parts of our life.
Yeah.
We might not be aware of it. Right. If we don't want to go out because we can't have this thing, or we're not going to be able to enjoy this thing that everybody else is going to be able to enjoy, perhaps, or choosing to enjoy. And you know. Right.
Yeah.
Because awareness is the key to whether that's going to be costly or, or beneficial. Right. So, but we could really limit ourselves and our capabilities when we go to that space of, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Or I won't be able to enjoy this anymore.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and what ends up happening too, at least with food, is I end up not paying attention to the realities that as I change my diet, my taste buds, what they like, change, how my body responds, changes. If I feel better, that's going to allow for a lot more other things. I'm going to have more energy. That's going to have a direct effect on how I do my work, on how I do my play, on my relationships with people, how well I sleep at night. And I can discover other things that I might like to eat or drink. Where I can feel really, it almost like it takes away that idea that maybe that food world is a little bit bigger than we think. Like as if like what we've already experienced, what we already like is the only thing that's out there.
Right. And, or if those are, if those food items are something that helps us to relieve stress, then that's a whole nother bucket of stuff.
Right.
Right. Instead of softening into this moment. We have
ice cream into this moment.
We ice cream or brownie into this moment.
Or taco.
Or taco into this moment, right? Which maybe makes us or helps us to feel better for a moment.
Yeah.
But it doesn't clear our mind. It doesn't allow us to connect with ourselves, get into the safety system. It can actually be a fight or flight response.
Yeah, weirdly.
Yeah.
Weirdly. Yeah. And it reminds me of the choice when we talked last time about choice, you know, the choices that we have, you know, so like my birthday was recently. And so one of what I wanted to do over that weekend was do my favorites. Like, so I, you know, that was my thing. I'm going to do my favorites. And some of those are my favorite foods. I didn't have any alcohol really, because it's not making me feel really good. And I had some food items that I really like that aren't best for me to eat every day. However, I was making the choice to do that and recognizing that I don't have to make it a problem that I'm having that. I don't have to feel guilty that I destroyed a dozen or two wings. You know, they were good.
Right.
But at the same time, recognizing that, okay, that's not something I'm always going to be able to do. I doubt I'm going to be able to do that when I'm 90. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's okay. I can enjoy that in the moment. Doesn't have to be a problem as long as I don't turn it into something that's running counter to my health, or telling myself a story that, oh, this means you're weak-willed, or you don't deserve to indulge yourself a little bit. You know, it's kind of a smudgy area there, isn't it?
It is. I mean, if we can pay attention to the stories before the eating, this isn't like a eat only healthy show. So right. I just want to put that out there. Yeah. We just landed on the stories around what foods we can eat and what foods we can't eat. And so here we are, right? So, but this isn't at all about eat this and not eat this, right? It's about sort of being present and being in reality. So if there tends to be a stress response, and a behavioral response to stress is the ice cream and brownie, then that could create other difficulties
stories. Other stories, right? Because if those, beyond them just being foods, if that's a source of then guilt, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. Right. Exactly.
Yes. So we have more stories even afterwards. Right. So that's the whole other part of this.
Yeah.
And food is just one of the things. When we're talking a lot about being more connected in our lives, being having more ease in our lives, being more present so that we're responding to life in ways that matter most to us.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're willy-nilly unawares into our habitual patterns, whatever those may be, we're far more likely not to connect with ourselves, not to connect with each other, actually have more stress and struggle in our lives. So we're just debunking all of this as we go along.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, in the case that you're talking about being present and connected with myself, when I am around those food questions, what it's led to is I become more curious about what I can find out there that I might actually like to eat that's better for me. It actually triggered curiosity, you know, and that's one of the great gifts, I think, of getting present is you get curious about maybe the feelings you're having or maybe the story. Where did that come from? Why do I indulge in that? But for me, in the case of food, it became, okay, if that's going to be off the table, what are some things out there that I never even knew existed? Never mind, know existed and didn't try. I could do that too. Well, what could be out there? And I found like some snack items. Like if gluten is an issue for me, I found some snack items that taste pretty good. There's like pretzels out there that aren't made of gluten stuff.
There are. Yes.
I know it sounds really weird, but cauliflower based pretzels are really good.
Yes.
So just stuff like, I never would have known that though. Mm-mm. Right. I never would have known that. And it can get easy for me to fall into that cycle of the foods that, you know, I like to have that I know aren't the best for me. But when I'm present around it and like, okay, yep, I have some choices I can make here. I've actually been able to expand my food palette a lot more. And that, of course, makes it a lot easier because then suddenly that problem is really gone.
Absolutely. So much easier. So you just did a beautiful job of describing the difference between protection and connection, right? So when you are in presence, you're open, you're curious, you're connected to yourself, what makes you feel good, and you expand. Into possibility.
It's another big word.
Yes. When we choose to be protected, we're going to run with those stories. We're going to feel like there's nothing that we can eat. We're not going to involve ourselves or engage with other people around this whole eating thing that we do as humans. We're going to, you know, we're just going to be in that state of fight or flight or freeze, protected. And the possibilities like decrease rapidly when we are there.
Yep. Yep. And we tend to fall back on the things that probably aren't really helping us, that aren't serving us, right? Stories or foods or whatever. Yeah. It's really is true. And fortunately, this is all something that we can access more simply than we think, right? The ventral vagal system and this idea of possibility. So if last week was softening, is this week possibility to reflect on that idea?
Yeah. Well, we want to keep softening going.
Keep softening going. Right.
Keep softening going. And then maybe as you continue to soften, you're going to notice what's more possible. Like what's more possible? Is that sounds so weird to
That's
say.
Okay.
What's, Yeah.
What's possible?
What's possible?
That's different
yeah.
from what you've experienced or thought about or considered mm-hmm. before. Mm-hmm. And just notice those.
Yeah.
Even if you don't do anything with them, just notice them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. All right. So yeah. step two, right? Mm-hmm. Soften, notice, possible. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, here, thanks again for listening in on this episode of Breaking Up with Our BS. Mm-hmm. This was fun.
Yeah.
Awesome.
This was fun.
Awesome. Make sure you check us out at our Facebook group, also on our YouTube channel. This exists as a podcast on your favorite platform. And so thanks to all of you for coming in for another episode of this. I am J.D. K. Winnikin.
I am Tani Santabria.
And thanks for sticking around for us to debunk some junk. Mm-hmm. And we'll be back next week. Mm-hmm. So anything else you want to say?
Just soften into possibility.
There we go. All right. That works.
Okay.
Thanks. See you next week, everyone.
All right.
Stop, stop, stop. I can't take it anymore.
Oh, I do the live one too.
Yes, I know. I saw your act in the theater. You're really quite good.
Quite a certain harmful habit.
Stop it now. I mean it.
Yeah. I don't think he felt anything after the crash.
Who's that guy here?
I'm in my groove. Here we go.